It's good to see everybody out here today again. It's a tough game this past weekend, obviously. You know, we put ourselves in a hole early offensively. Just came out of sync, and you know, it was a kind of a it was on everybody, and it was on me mostly. I need to do a better job at the beginning of the game. There's no doubt about it. I need to do a better job. I didn't do as good a job as I could have this week, and that's a lot of what you saw out there was on me. It wasn't on our players. And bottom line is I need to do a better job. I'm looking forward to regrouping and flying out to San Diego to play another good opponent. And we're looking forward to getting back on the field.
When you say it's on you, do you mean specifically the play calls you didn't like?
There were three play calls I really didn't like early. There were three in the run game. And, you know, it's just I put our guys in a bad position on three plays that I need to do better.
Was McCown rusty in that first half? Or why do you look so much better?
I wouldn't say he was rusty. I would say he was pressing a little bit maybe, you know, and overthinking some things. You know, we had a read there that he missed, the one to Hawk over the middle against man coverage. That could have been a big play. But I'll tell you, you know, for the two or three throws that he missed early, he made up for about five or six later in the game. I mean, the touchdown throw to Barnage, I mean, we missed a block up front, and we had Khalil Mack coming free on him. And he made a fantastic play. And so for the ones that he missed early in the game, I thought he made up for twofold later in the game.
Is the play toward the end of the game, I think it was like an 18-yard gain from Duke, like the kind of play you – like when you saw him in college, you're like, that's Duke Johnson type
absolutely.
Of play.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest, you know, in that play, I told the players this. In that play, when I saw Duke do that, there was no doubt on anyone's mind, our sideline, we were going to win that football game. You know, and from just seeing our players, they were really into it at that point. You know, that's the mindset you want to see from your guys at that point when the game is tight, when you are driving to win the game, when you get the ball on the 1 yard line and you got to, or 2 yard line, and you got to drive 98 to win the game. That's the mindset you want to see your players in.
How difficult is it? I mean, you've been around the game long enough to come back from a hamstring injury, because he really hasn't looked that explosive or fast since he's come back. Is it just him kind of working up to speed, or is it him still trying to learn the offense because he didn't have much of a preseason? Or
I think it's a combination of a lot of those things you just mentioned. And I challenged Duke after week one to play faster. And I think part of that is he's got the thing I really like about Duke, and he's not where he's going to be by this week, next week. He's a guy that's going to keep getting better each week. And he knows he's getting better each week. But you see him getting better each week. He's become a more viable force in the passing game. You see him running it faster. I think a lot of it has to do with just being a rookie and adjusting to the speed of the game because he lacked those preseason snaps.
This offensive line seems to be built for the zone read system that Kyle Shanahan's known for using.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem like a power blocking group.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, do you agree with that, and how much of that kind of run game are you utilizing this season?
Our run game, as I said since I've gotten here, really didn't change very much. It really didn't. Now, have we had a few wrinkles? Sure, but I can't think of, you know, without a few wrinkles on a few plays here and there. I mean, the verbiage is still the same. The line calls up front are still the same. Now, the pass game is much, much different. But from an offensive line standpoint, from the schematics of it, are fairly similar to what has been run here in the past. I think it's a couple of things. I think there's a lot of, like I mentioned a few weeks ago, there's a lot of onesies. And like I said, the run game to me where we are right now, we need to have some confidence early. And I felt like I had a big, big reason and why that didn't happen last week. And I take ownership for that. And we're going to be much better this week. And, you know, we're going to do a few things different this week that we're going to see if they work for us. And I'm not going to tell you what, but we're going to try some new things.
I
don't read TMZ. I have a lot of respect for TMZ, but I really don't read TMZ. So I didn't read the story, to be quite honest with you. You know, the thing I did read though, and I read Joe Thomas's response, and I read Andrew Hawkins's response, And to me, those guys hit the nail on the head of what's really going on in this building right now and in our offensive meeting room.
Do you see any difference in Dwayne Bowe this week as opposed to last week in practice?
Yes, absolutely. I thought he had his best practice of the year yesterday.
See him playing Sunday?
I'm going to let Coach decide that, the inactives and deactives. I'm going to let Coach decide that, and we'll roll from there.
John, I got lost on the
onesies. I'm sorry. Yeah, the onesies are just one guy not doing his job. You know, whether that be me with the wrong play call, whether that be missing a block at the point of attack, not getting to the second level, a back on the goal line missing a hole, those type things. When I say a one guy, I wouldn't say as a cohesive unit we're playing bad on the offensive line. I just think we're having one breakdown, and that's the nature of offensive football. When you have one guy break down, you know, the play's not going to be successful, to where it's much, much different than defensive football. If a guy, you know, doesn't get in his gap, there's a lot of times there's a linebacker there or a safety there to make the play behind him, and that's not the case in offensive football. And that's the challenging and fun part of coaching on offense, is you got to get 11 guys running in sync and doing what you need them to do.
You're a pretty passionate guy, especially about your players.
Yes.
What's your personal feeling when you hear that it's reported three of your guys anonymously reported about personnel?
I don't deal well with anonymous sources. I don't believe anonymous sources. I don't give much credit to anonymous sources. Like, to me, that's cowardly.
Hey, John, can you talk about how you, what's your mindset about Josh right now coming off that game? And do you still feel 100% that, you know, he's the guy to lead you guys where you want to go? And
he is. He is. There's no doubt in my mind Josh is. And like I said, he had a really probably below average, I wouldn't say poor, but below average, we're first quarter and a half. And he recognizes that. We all recognize that. And there's no one that feels worse about it than Josh McCown. I can tell you that right now. And there's no one that's preparing better to make sure that doesn't happen this week against the Chargers than Josh McCown. But if you turn on that tape, there are a lot of plays that he made, a lot of plays he made, and a lot of throws he made. Like I said, every quarterback in every game has plays you wish you could have back. But Josh is our guy, yes.
I think he didn't do what you expected him to do last weekend. Is that something that can happen throughout the season for yourself?
I've been really impressed with Gary since the day I got here. Gary, we've asked Gary to do a lot of different things, as you know. I mean, especially when we had some injuries early in the season, Gary was asked to be in the backfield. Gary was asked to be at the point of attack. Gary was asked to be at the wing. He was asked to be at a bunch of different spots in our offense and did well at all of them. And so the fact that the way he prepares doesn't surprise me that he's playing as well as he is. As an offensive staff and as our players on offense, really trust Gary to do the right thing and catch the football. And I think you're seeing, because of that and the way Gary has worked, he's getting a lot of opportunities. I tell you, Austin was a guy I really liked coming out of college. Austin's gotten a lot physically bigger and stronger since his time at Southern Miss. I've been really impressed with his arm strength. Really, he has a very, very good quarterback presence to him. I mean, he's got some juice to him. He really does. I mean, he commands presence, and you know when he's in the room, and that's a big, big piece in playing that position. But the way he's come in and just picked up the offense and done what we've asked him to do has been very, very impressive.
What was your opinion on the interception at the end of the game? You know, Mike thought there was an opening to the left, and Josh thought he could get the ball over the top if he could step into it. Where would you want him to go with that ball?
Well, I think both places to go with the football wouldn't have been wrong. I think Josh got caught flat-footed. He didn't get clean. He didn't even feel it until after the game, until he watched the tape. He goes, "I didn't even realize I got caught flat-footed." So I think if he realized that he had lost his feet, he would have gone to Duke on the play. We had Gary as the first progression across the middle. In two Tampa, the Will linebacker reads the quarterback's eyes, and he squeezed Gary. And, if you get back there late, Duke Johnson's running what we call an M route, which is right down the top of the number. So it basically replaces the Will linebacker to where he vacated from. Josh's decision wasn't wrong. I think, like I said, he got caught flat-footed, and he threw it a little bit late. So I think that was the problem with that read. So those are things we've talked about, and he's fixed.
49 attempts for him is a career high. Mm-hmm. I know you do whatever you got to do to win. If that's what it takes, you would call that. But is it safe to say that's not the formula you go into games?
That's not the formula, personally, myself, I would like to play with, no. No, I think, you know, I would like to be as balanced as we can. And when somebody, people have asked me, what's your percentage run to pass, I don't give them an answer because it's going to change weekly and depending on the situation of the game, because as we all know, each game is its own season, and we're going to do what we have to do to win the football game. But in a perfect world, would I love to be 50-50? Sure, but that, it's not going to work out like that. I mean, we jumped to a big lead against Tennessee, and we ran the football. That last week we got behind, we threw the football. So, like I said, who knows what's going to happen Sunday, but our plan is to go in and be much, much more balanced than we were this past week.
What's your message at Crow, and have you felt the need to challenge him?
I wouldn't say challenge. I don't think effort is ever an issue for Crow. You know, to me, when I challenge guys a little bit, it's because I don't think their mind's in it. I don't think that they're giving their max effort. That's never been an issue with Crow. I just think Crow's still a young back. I mean, he really is. I mean, he's still a young back, and he's going to miss some holes, and he regrets missing that hole on the goal line. I know he does. And you know, as we get going down here, I see Crow improving greatly.
When you look at the Austin Davis signing, I think a lot of people are reading a whole bunch into it. Is this some kind of a statement on Johnny Manziel? Does it mean this or does it mean that? What's your take on what does that extension mean?
My take on it is that we got another good young quarterback in our locker room. And that's all I'm reading into it, and I'm glad Austin's here.
John, how looking at the first 3 weeks, how do you think the Andy Muller departure has, what impact do you think that's made, and can you tell us why bring Paul Dunn aboard?
Sure. I think whenever you lose a coach, there is going to be a little bit of what's the word I'm looking for? Change. And sometimes that change is positive. Sometimes more likely that change needs some time to take place and get used to and those things. And I think we added Paul, who's a veteran O-line guy. He's coached in the NFL, and he's going to bring some good ideas to the table. But I can't tell you how much – like I can't tell you our struggles running the football are on Andy Muller. To me, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. It's a lot on me and, you know, some spots here and there. So we're glad Paul's here. He's going to be great for our staff, and he's going to be great to help out George. But like I said, maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, I have all the faith in the world in George DeLeon.
How's Johnny taking the lead since we got the news of
disappointment? I'm sorry. Oh, Johnny's been great. He's been great. Now, is he disappointed? Absolutely. And I want guys that are going to be disappointed when they're not playing. I want guys that are going to be a little upset when they don't get the football. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me at all. As long as it doesn't upset the team, that doesn't bother me one bit. I want competitive guys on our offensive side of the ball. Yeah, you know, the points that we made to Josh and to Johnny were made. You know, the beauty of the communications now in the NFL is I can press my button, and all the quarterbacks have an earpiece in there, and I can talk to them all on the field no matter where they are. So, you know, from where I don't turn around very much during the game to look behind me, but from when the few times I did, I mean, Johnny was probably about right here. So, I mean, that's the beauty of communications now in the NFL. You can talk to all those guys.
Are you tempted to put a package of plays in, or to give Johnny something to do, to not only just to keep him really engaged, but to also give you guys a possible another playmaker on the field?
Sure. I don't, you know, that's always a possibility. That's always a possibility. To say that, you know, we don't have plays ready for Johnny Manziel against the San Diego Chargers, I'd be lying to you. Okay? I'd be lying to you. So you never know. And we may use them, and we may not. And that's the competitive advantage of showing up and playing an opponent on Sunday. We don't know what they're going to do, and they don't know what we're going to do.
Thanks. I'm
sorry. Sure.
Do you get the fan frustration with playing Boston?
I didn't, you know.
I mean, he's become a lightning rod, A, because of the contract, and B, because, and, you know, he's a positive guy, but he talked some big things when he signed here.
Sure, I can see where that would be. There would be some people, I wouldn't say taking offense to that, but looking at those statements and at a guy that unfortunately got injured and couldn't play because he was injured. But yeah, like I said, I was just thrilled that Dwayne had probably his best practice of the year yesterday. So that's I'm a glass half full guy. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Was it being an active last Sunday injury or was it a healthy stretch?
Injury.